Welcome back to the Fantasy Chumps podcast. This is episode 93, The Race to the Playoffs. In this episode, we talk about injury news from week 10, and we highlight probably the biggest piece of injury news this week in Devon Achan returning for the Miami Dolphins against the Las Vegas Raiders in a very favorable matchup for his position. Look for him to have a big week this week. We also discuss our sleepers, streamers, and must starts for week 11. We each individually get into some of the names that we really like that fit each of those categories, and then we get into our locks of the week from week 10 and make our predictions for week 11. As always, follow us on X and Twitter at @fantasy_chumps, and we hope you guys enjoy. Thanks, guys.
Yo! What is up, chumps? Welcome back to the Fantasy Chumps podcast. It's kind of felt like a while, if I'm being honest. I don't know why. It's only been a week, but must have been a busy week. But joining me, as always, is Nate and John. And today, something blew my mind. It maybe just be a me thing. So today, on this date, Home Alone was released. Do you know how many years ago it was released?
Wow. So the first thing, I don't know how you guys go about thinking about something like this. The first thing that I think of is I try to picture the vehicles that are in the movie.
That's a good one. The tech is what I think of, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, like, I don't think of it that way because, like, I don't really know when, like, digital alarm clocks were popular or, like, when they first became a big thing. But I remember the digital alarm clock flashing because they unplugged it to, like, charge the batteries for the camcorder or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then that's, like, the whole reason that they were late to the airport and Kevin got left. But I'm going to say 1994.
Okay.
That's a good guess. Ooh.
Nate?
So, John, like you, what I try to think about is the actor. I think his name is Macaulay Culkin.
Yes.
I try and think of about how old he was when they filmed that movie and how old he is now.
I also have how old he is now up, by the way.
I feel like he's probably – I've seen pictures of him recently. He doesn't look too good. He's seen better
days. He's had a rough go.
Yeah. I feel like he's probably got to be like upper 30s, early 40s. If he was 40, I bet he was like just 10 when they filmed that movie. So I bet it was like 30 years ago. So that's like 93. John and I are kind of right around there.
Yeah.
I'll go 93.
Way to disagree your age.
No, I'll actually go 95. I like 95 better.
Okay. What were you gonna say, John?
So what was the did this come up in conversation at work, you said?
Yeah, I don't know why. So it came out 33 years ago in 1990.
Oh my
Whoa.
Gosh.
And because As people, as we age, there's certain things that's come up like, oh, wow, the 360 was released 15 years ago. And we're like, what? But this was one truly I was blindsided by. I had no idea this came out in 1990. Like, if you were to ask me before today, I probably would have guessed 90s, 98, 2000, somewhere in there. Something around there. I knew it was before 2001 because it was just the airport scenes where it was way different than it is now. But that blew my mind. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's how I try and decide. Is it pre or post 9/11 airport security?
Well, I don't want to say that. Yeah, but...
I will say, Layton, you are always the one to throw those like tweets into the group text of like, this happened 20 years ago today. Do you feel old yet? Layton's always the one to find those and throw those out. This one, at least, it doesn't really make me feel that old. Like, it came out 8 years before I was born. Yeah, it was already old when I watched it for the first time. So, but that is crazy. That's, I did think it was closer to like 98-ish.
That's true. It didn't make me feel old. But for example, Halo CE is 22 years old today. So that made me feel a little old. But yeah. So
I think it's different because it predated us, you know?
Exactly.
Like, you're saying with Halo, like, it happened within our lifetime and like we remember playing it as kids. So to think, oh my gosh, like, I started kindergarten 21 years ago. Like, what? That's just a whole different perspective. Whereas like Home Alone, it's like, okay, like 33 years ago, I can see that. But also when we were kids, you know, in the early 2000s, that like 1990 today is like the late 60s, like 1970. It's just, that's wild.
It's crazy. So before we move on, Macaulay Culkin is 43 years old.
Gross. Oh, wow.
So
it shows.
Dang. Everybody always told me I looked like him when I was younger.
Oh, no.
When I was younger, like, I was younger too, not now. I wasn't 11. They're like, yeah, you look like a 40-year-old guy.
Imagine being out in public and somebody walks up to you and says, hey, you really look like Macaulay Culkin. I just be like, do you just want to ruin my day?
Yes. Well, okay, that was my fun little fact from the day. Best Christmas movie, by the way.
Okay, hot take coming in now.
Okay.
Home Alone, the original, is not the best Home Alone. I'm just going to say that.
Which one is?
This is a very spicy one. I am going to argue that Home Alone 3 is the best Home Alone of all time. And that is not even like the original cast at all. It is this movie may have not even made it to theaters anywhere. It is like... And the reason why I love this movie so much, my grandparents owned this movie on VHS. When I used to go and visit them, they didn't have cable TV, so I would just pop in VHS tapes, like, just run the whole circuit of what they had. And Home Alone 3, for whatever reason, was in their cabinet. That movie slaps. If you have not watched it yet, you need to. Instead of the, what were they? The Wet Bandits? Or the Sticky Bandits? Yeah. Yeah, instead of Marv and Harry being the bad guys, this is legit, like, it's like a Russian, like, espionage group that infiltrates Chicago and just starts getting harassed by this kid. It's awesome. Totally different. Home Alone kind of took a darker side.
I didn't remember it until you said the Russian thing, because as soon as he said that, I actually have seen this movie, and it is good. I will give you credit. I don't know that it's better than the original, though.
It's not. That's fair. It's not even better than Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2, that's another thing. I think it goes 3-2-1 in that order from best to worst.
Home Alone 2 is really good.
Home Alone 2 is really good.
Man.
Here's another one you guys may not have known. There's actually a Home Alone 4.
I did know that.
I can't
garbage. Say garbage. It is garbage.
No, it's better than the third one. No, it's terrible.
It's so bad. I'd be honestly curious what the Rotten Tomatoes score on that is. I don't even know if they would have reviewed it.
2.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yep. Tracks.
24% Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh. If it makes you feel any better, Nate, Home Alone 3 is 32%.
All right. I mean...
You know what?
Maybe it's for the simpler brains out there.
Let's just air them all out. A Christmas Story is not a good movie.
Blasphemous.
I'll say it.
Yeah, I would agree with Nate there. That's pretty wild. That is like the Christmas movie.
That is the best. Movies. Yeah.
Me and my parents watched it 1 year. It was terrible.
What?
Yeah. That's my hot take for the Christmas movies. I don't think that's a good movie.
Oh, my gosh.
So I didn't know this was going to be a Christmas-themed episode. All right, Miracle on 34th Street. Where does it rank?
Wait, which one?
Miracle on 34th Street?
I have never seen that.
What?
I have never seen that movie before.
I haven't either, John. But apparently it's really good. Dude, this came out in 1947.
I feel like that's got to be like one of the most classic Christmas movies out there.
Like, it's... Gosh. You want to talk about Rotten Tomatoes? It's a 96%er on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, clearly, we don't care what they think, because Home Alone 3 is 33%.
So that is Rotten Tomatoes the equivalent to...
PFF?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Is Rotten Tomatoes PFF?
Yes.
It's a great job.
So, all right, the Bruce Willis movies.
Oh, Die Hard? Those are good.
Yeah, is Die Hard a Christmas movie, or is Die Hard just an action movie?
No, it can be both.
It can be both. I think of it more as an action movie that happens around Christmas, so it kind of dips into both buckets, in my opinion.
Man, we could really just talk about this all.
All right. John, you go up. Wait, Layton, have you seen Home Alone 3?
Yeah.
Wait, you have two, John?
Yeah.
I mean,
wait, that is actually shocking.
It's like we're talking, and it was a while.
Yeah, I would say I've seen it maybe like 2 to 4 times.
And it doesn't make me want to see it again.
Okay. John, you go watch Home Alone 3. Layton, you go watch Christmas Story.
I've already watched it.
Go watch Miracle on 34th. We'll watch it again, because clearly something was wrong.
No, it was not experience. Not a good movie.
Okay. All right, moving on.
Me and my parents were both confused. We were all three confused just sitting there.
Man.
I don't know what to tell you.
Do you understand like who narrates the movie?
Yeah.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
And all right.
Okay, well, you explain it to me. Who narrates the movie and why is it significant?
Ralphie. So, as an adult, he is narrating his childhood through the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, Little Orphan Annie, like, the secret message, like Santa Claus, like, you'll shoot your eye out, kid, and then he kicks him down, like, the slit, like, nothing.
No.
Yeah, all he wants is a Red Ryder BB gun.
Yeah.
The stock and compass and this thing tells time.
Gonna shoot his eye out.
But all of the parents are telling him he's gonna shoot his eye out, but he wants the Red Ryder BB gun, but he's too afraid to ask Santa. It's phenomenal. I don't know what to tell you.
The scene where he comes home and he like had the accident and he went blind and his parents are like, "Oh, Ralphie, we were too hard on you." I love it.
It's so good. I can't wait for it to We will keep that running like for 24 hours in the Bailey house.
I know.
So
around Christmas.
We watched it because you and your mom recommended it so much.
Gosh. I'm sorry.
No. I'm not coming at you and your take. Just saying.
You don't have anything to apologize for. No. You didn't let anybody down. Layton let himself down.
Okay. I don't know if I'd go that far either. But.
So the reason that I'm a huge Miracle on 34th Street guy is. I guess maybe it was just a tradition for us, but like NBC plays like all the classic Christmas movies on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But like, it's like we would have NBC on 24/7 and we would go through and watch all of like the old classics. And Miracle on 34th was probably the first one that I can remember as a kid because my grandparents really liked it and my parents also liked it. So that was probably the one staple that we would all watch together as a family. And it's just, I don't know, I think it has a great, like, story behind it, too. But
More of an uplifting movie?
Yeah, definitely.
I'll check it out.
Yeah,
it's great.
John, you take over the podcast. I'm adding Miracle on 34th Street to my movie watch list. So.
Perfect.
Not a Christmas story, though.
I'll take what I can get. Moving on. this week, we're kind of in the race to the playoffs now. Some leagues are
most
starting
to
wrap things up. Most of us, quite literally most of us. I think we start a little bit early compared to other leagues.
Yeah, no, we do.
I don't know. But speaking of most of us being in the playoff race, Layton, you did some wonderful research. Hats off to you. You wanna dive into the situation of our league right now?
Oh, that dude! I thought you were trying to make fun of me.
No, I'm dead serious. Like, this was awesome. This is great.
So, I told myself when I got to work on what day was that? That was yesterday, right? Tuesday.
Yeah,
I said I was going to figure out. So in our league of record, there's 10 teams. I've already clinched a playoff spot, and I have the first round bye. Two teams are eliminated. They're vying for last place. Every other team is up for the last five spots. There's a chance every single one of those seven teams can either make it or not. I had never seen that before because I feel like most years in our league, two or three teams have already clinched a playoff spot by this point. Three teams are kind of out, and then the rest is, you know, we're just trying to figure out seeding and stuff. But there's so much in the air. I decided to go through and find out every scenario for each player in our league. And that's what I did.
It was incredible.
John, at first I couldn't tell if your text was sarcastic or not.
So
when you said, because John, I sent this text, it's really long, obviously. John just responds with absolutely outstanding. And I read that as sarcastic, so, but I knew you
were. No, I was dead serious. The reason that I said that is because I work for a construction company, and the superintendent on one of the projects that I'm managing, he says, he uses that phrase all the time, and he definitely uses it sarcastically a lot, but he also uses it seriously. And he's like from down in the deep parts of Arkansas. So he's got a real thick, like, Arkansas accent. Mm-hmm. And he says absolutely outstanding all the time. And it's kind of rubbing, like, I kind of enjoy it. So I think I'm putting it in the arsenal of phrases that I'm going to use from here on out. At least for a while.
That was a great text though. Layton went full Steve Kornacki, if you know that guy from Football Night in America, the guy that runs all the playoff scenarios on the whiteboard, or on the touchscreen.
Because he did all the scenarios for the presidential campaign. It became like a meme.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was Layton in the group text, so that was good work, my friend.
Well, thank you. Well, because last year, Nate did power rankings every now and then, and this year I was – just with so many teams, I wanted to know how each one happened. Because Scott at 4-6 has a chance to make the playoffs. I didn't get it. And so I looked, and it's wild. It was honestly confusing at times, just because I'd have to focus on, okay, if Nate wins, what happens? Okay, Nate's in. Okay, that's it. Then I could just, well, what if he loses? And then you just kind of get on that hole. So, yeah, that was me.
We've all got a chance. We've all got a chance.
Well...
Well, you're already in.
Well, not all of us, because Joe and Ethan.
No, I, us in this room right here.
Oh, yes, everybody does have a chance.
Yeah. So it'll be fun.
I just don't have to worry about fantasy football for the next 3 weeks. So that's nice.
Must be nice.
All right, moving on to injuries. So heading into this week, some of the guys that, well, big news that broke today, Deshaun Watson, shoulder surgery. We were talking about that decision, the decision to trade for, and the deal that Deshaun got signed to. It is looking rough for the Browns right now. Like, couldn't be much worse for how it's turned out, because they're good without him being like a, well, I shouldn't say good. They're winning without him being like a key contributor to their success, like they envisioned him being.
This is true.
If you had to give a grade to that trade and that deal, what would you give it? Like, 10 being like absolutely outstanding, 1 being DeMarcus Russell.
Jeez.
It's like a 2.
Wait, what's the DeMarcus Russell?
That's a 1. Or like Ryan Leaf. I don't know who's worse. They're both pretty
okay. Bad. So just, I had to look this up. So the Browns sent the Texans their first round picks in 2022, 3, and 4, along with a 3rd and 2/4.
Yes. And then gave them a fully guaranteed deal for $240 million.
Probably like a 3.
What's a two or a one?
A one's Jamarcus Russell.
We got cut out there for a minute, so we're back. Back to some more Deshaun Watson conversation. Not a lot more to say. Dorian Thompson-Robinson has been named the starter this week against Pittsburgh. Whoa. So, yeah. Fantasy take on that is probably not great for anybody on that team. Amari Cooper, you're probably downgrading. Elijah Moore is probably not rosterable if he's rostered currently.
Everything about the Browns organization is downgraded, even their defense.
Yeah. Yep. Probably don't have to talk about that one much. So next on the injury list, we have Alexander Mattison. He left the game with a concussion fairly early on, I think. I wasn't watching at that point. But he did leave with a concussion. He's questionable for this week. TJ Hockenson is also dealing with an injury. I can't remember. Does anybody remember what that one is off the top of your head?
Too many targets and a half.
Yes, that's probably it. He exploded last week against the Saints. He's having rib issues is the current report. And just listed as questionable. So keep an eye on that one. We'll talk about it a little later in the show. And then T. Higgins, he's listed as out. I don't think that's confirmed.
Yeah, he's
is
out.
It?
Yeah, he's not playing.
Okay, so he is out tomorrow night against the Ravens.
Him and Sam Hubbard, if somebody was curious about the Bengals defense for some reason against the Ravens.
There you go. The big highlight from this injury segment, though, is Devon Achane is set to return for the Dolphins. Somebody's excited about that.
Yeah, that was my neighbor. He was listening. He's excited.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm really excited because he's on my fantasy team in our main league. And if he is anything like he was before he got hurt, it's going to be a great time.
What is the realistic expectation for him this week? Like where do you guys see his floor and his ceiling? They're playing the Raiders this week. So
yes,
pretty good matchup. Probably about as good as it could possibly be. I think we're assuming that the Dolphins are going to be in control of that game. So, Nate, how do you view Devon Achane in his return?
It's kind of tough because I don't think he needs to see a ton of snap share to be effective. I feel like even, you know, when he was kind of just coming on the scene, he was probably never getting more than 45% of the snap count, but obviously very effective in his usage. It's just, I think you kind of hope to see when he comes back, you hope to see the explosiveness and that he hasn't really lost a step. I'd be curious what his projection is right now on most platforms. I think what I was seeing was like a 13 to 14 and a half. I think you could expect a 14 plus, probably like a 14 to 18 performance from him. And then it's just, does he get in the end zone or not?
So in your eyes, he's not missing a beat this week.
I don't think so, but I mean, I think that's kind of the assumption that I'm going to be running off of. Obviously, I'm always scared to start somebody that's been coming off a long, you know, kind of stint off on the IR, just for that, you know, potential that they could be, you know, a step slower or something, or maybe a hair more hesitant. Sure. So I'm always a little nervous about that, but I think if reports at a training camp or not at a training camp, out of practice are good this week, on Thursday especially, then I'm full go. Start as flex, probably.
Yeah, you're starting in with confidence no matter what.
Yes.
I think so. I don't know. Leighton, you feel that way too?
1,000%. So he's limited in practice today. The one thing about his knee injury is he didn't tear anything. It was just a knee strain, and it was going to put him out a couple weeks. So apparently the Dolphins just wanted to kind of ease him back into it, which is why he went on the IR. But I mean, in the three games he truly played, he had 41%, 60%, and 48% of the snaps. And he still averaged like 27 points. So I don't know. It's It's honestly kind of nutty. But, I mean, if he plays, I would play him everywhere. Because, and the thing is, his second true game, he had 11 touches, 8 carries, and 3 receptions. He had 101 rushing yards with 2 touchdowns and 19 receiving yards for 27 points off 11 touches. That's insane. So, yeah, I would start him basically everywhere, because all he needs is one big play. He can take any rush 80 yards for a touchdown. So
true. Yeah. I as more of a long-term outlook, I think Achan is probably one of my biggest go and get guys if you can right now. Probably should have been done a week ago. It might be getting too late. Somebody who's been slotting him on IR for the last 4 or 5 weeks is probably very excited to get him back. But let's say somebody in your league who has Achan is pretty solid at the running back position, isn't really thinking about Achan that much. I would try to go get him, because I just think with Mostert, who is 31 years old, is very injury prone, but hasn't really gotten that banged up so far this year. I hate to put it into existence or speak it into existence, but I feel like that time is coming when he kind of gets an ailment and he starts missing some snaps or some games. And I just think at that point, I mean, if Achan's on the field 70% of the time, he's league winner at that point. So
that's what I'm hoping for.
So just from a statistical standpoint with the Raiders rush defense, they've given up the second most yards in the league. They give up an average of 4.6 yards per carry. They've also given up 10 touchdowns on the ground.
And what's Achan's yards per carry so far this season?
It's probably like over 8.
Oh, it's 12.1. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Just to note, and this is a good and bad thing, right? So Achan scored 7 total touchdowns in those 3 weeks. So yes, he put up crazy numbers. He was scoring the ball a lot. The big game, really, in my opinion, was that game against Buffalo, wherever they were just getting blown out. I mean, that was,
yeah,
I feel like it was a 20 plus or maybe even 30
28 point game.
Yeah. And that was the one where he surpassed Mostert in snap percentage. So like Leighton highlighted, he had 60% of the snaps. Mostert, he had 7 attempts for 9 yards and he only played 43% of the snaps. It did flip back against the Giants. I think that was his last game.
Yeah.
That was the game that he went out.
He went out, so, and they're also winning a lot. But
yeah, he got hurt. I feel like Achan is a lock to get in the end zone this week, which obviously you're looking for touchdowns. That's where the fantasy production really comes from. So I would agree that you have to start Achan, and you probably start him with a good amount of confidence just because it's such a favorable matchup against literally almost the worst rush defense in the NFL. Here's the question that I pose to you guys, just again, sticking to fantasy. If you could start Joe Mixon or Devon Achan, who would you start?
Devon Achan.
Achan.
Like no question whatsoever. Even with T. Higgins out playing prime time.
I think Baltimore's defense is probably the tiebreaker in that if it were to get to a tie.
Yeah.
I don't think I like Mixon's outlook against the Ravens. And honestly, the Bengals rushing offense has been kind of atrocious all year.
He's been reliant on touchdowns as well. Here's a weird one. Derrick Henry or Devon Achan?
Achan.
Yeah.
Henry's coming off of a poor performance against, I think it was the Bucs last week. I'm not sure. Does anybody know his matchup off the top of your head?
The Titans? The
Jags.
Wait, what's that?
They play the Jags. Yeah, the Titans versus the Jags in Jacksonville. So that one, I'd flip a coin on that. I'd probably lean Achan just because I like his scoring upside.
Yeah. I just think with Henry, it's not looked easy for him this year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's his regression finally, I mean, just with age and carries and usage, or if it's a lot more to do with the Titans offense, just not being very explosive and being able to create opportunities for him. But it has not, it has looked difficult for him lately. And so
Tyjae has actually been a real factor that I don't think anyone expected. I think he went to Tulane, if I remember correctly. I feel like he's had trouble with both of his knees. Like
he has arthritis.
Is it arthritis? Okay. I couldn't remember exactly what it was, but he was like a non-factor for me coming into the year. And because he was drafted fairly early, I think they took him in the third or fourth round of the draft. And he's actually really eaten into the role of Derrick Henry. But nonetheless, Devon Achane returning this week against the Raiders. It's a pretty easy consensus of start him. And based off of the guys that we just compared him to, it sounds like he's locked for top 10 this week.
I mean, would you rather play him or Breece Hall? Breece Hall plays the Bills.
So we were talking about this before the show. I actually like the matchup for Breece Hall. I feel like this could be a bounce back game for him. But again, it seems like almost a sure thing that Achane scores a touchdown. So that one's a tough one. I'll say Achane again. I feel like a broken record.
Okay. That's good.
Barkley or Achane?
Barkley.
I'm going Barkley too.
It's a Commanders.
Nate? Agreed. Yep. I'll round that out.
All right. Okay. We'll leave it at that. Yeah. I feel like that gives everybody a pretty good idea of where we stand with Achane, but
league winner,
you heard it here first. Definitely not. We're like the 10,000th podcast to announce that. Starts of the week this week, we feel like this is a important one. You know, we talked about the race to the playoffs. Maybe, I mean, for us, it's the last week of the regular season, so this is an important one. You're faced with injuries, you're faced with bye weeks, and what's the thought process, I guess, from our perspective, of how do you go about finding guys who are on the waiver wire, or maybe you're debating on who's going to be that bench guy for you who moves into the flex spot this week. And as we started to look at this, I inherently just look at the easy matchups. The one that stands out, we just talked about it for an extended period of time, the Dolphins and the Raiders. That's a very favorable matchup. So we're gonna give our starts of the week, if you will, of maybe guys who aren't really on the forefront of, you know, the Jamar Chase or the Christian McCaffreys. You know, obviously you're starting those guys, but we're gonna get a little deeper, maybe in the waiver wire, maybe on your bench, of who's gonna have a breakout or just a solid week as a starter in your lineup. So Nate, you're excited for this segment.
Yeah. So I kind of broke mine out into kind of three different types of players. I did. Mm-hmm. I picked a sleeper, a streamer, and a must start. So my sleeper was like probably maybe somebody that's stashed away on your bench right now that you're not super excited to start, or maybe their projections aren't looking great, but I am pretty confident in them. Streamer was somebody, if you're in dire need to fill a position, you can go grab them off waiver. Possibly, in my example, I did not know what his positional rank was this year, so he may not be available, actually. And then my other must start is somebody who I think you could plug in for your RB2, wide receiver 2, flex position. Kind of person. So I'll start it off with the sleeper pick for me this week. I am going to go with Devin Singletary.
Ooh,
running back for the Houston Texans. He's kind of filling in for Damian Pierce right now. Damian Pierce sat out last week and is questionable right now. He did not practice today. We are filming as of Wednesday. So he's going up against the Arizona Cardinals, who have been one of the worst rushing defenses over the past 3 weeks. Over the last 3 weeks, they have, on average, given up 2 rushing touchdowns per game. So if you're looking for, you know, touchdown upside for somebody that, you know, you just got to plug in and you're in dire need of somebody to fill that RB2 position. I think that's a real kind of positive for Devin Singletary this week. Singletary also just came off a huge game against, it's slipping me right now. The Bengals, that's right. I think he went for like 150 and a touchdown. So very solid output last week. I'm pretty confident in him. I don't really think the Cardinals have shown many signs of that defense, you know, stopping a water leak. So I think he's due for a pretty solid game. But I think as we go forward, we're recording this pretty early still. So keep your eye on Damian Pierce news. If he does practice tomorrow and it's looking like he might play on Sunday, I may kind of start pumping the brakes on this take, but Devin Singletary, my sleeper of the week.
John, you want to go next? Or you want me to go?
You take it.
All right. So my sleeper is, okay, I shouldn't say sleeper. My start of the week this week is a matchup nobody's going to like, but one of mine is Adam Thielen versus the Cowboys. So obviously Adam Thielen so far, number 8 wide receiver in PPR. Over the past 3 weeks though, has been very great. Only has 15, 8, and 10. But I don't know if you guys saw, but Frank Wright is taking over play calling duty again. So he's going to be calling the plays like he did earlier this year. Obviously earlier this season is going a lot better for Adam Thielen. And he's still getting the targets. He still has 11, 6, and 10 over those past 3 weeks. So I would just be banking on the fact that Frank Wright calling plays will be an upgrade for him in the offense. Again, the Panthers are definitely not winning. So I think there's a chance if they get blown out that they're just going to throw the ball a ton. Just as some would say, garbage time points. I think that could truly happen this week to a great extent. The Cowboys sit back in a prevent defense, and so Adam Thielen's just there to catch 8-10 yard catches as long as he wants. So that's kind of it's one of my sleepers. Starts the week.
Somebody's going to have to score for Carolina if they put up any points.
That is true.
So Adam Thielen, definitely a good shot at getting into the end zone. I'm going to start out with probably the deepest pick, so I'll call this my sleeper. I'm going to throw out Michael. I always screw this up. It's Mayer. I was going to say Michael Mayer, but Michael Mayer, the tight end for the Las Vegas Raiders. Matched up with the Dolphins, this is going to be a game that the Raiders are easily behind on the scoreboard. The tight end position has been so difficult to predict this season, as it is every year. But Mayer is – his snap percentage is way high right now. He's – the last three games, he's at 91, 88, and 88. He has seen his targets increase ever since week 5. He had a couple down weeks in 8 and 9. But he got into the end zone for the first time in his career last week against the Jets as well. And – only had 3 receptions for 19 yards, but that put him at tight end number 9. So against really, I'm not going to say like a bad defense by any stretch.
But it's not a good stretch.
It's not a good defense. I think people think about Miami and they think the defense is actually better than what it really is, but they're probably bottom, maybe not bottom third, but they're close to it in the NFL. So I like Michael Mayer this week. I think as a tight end, as a streaming option, he's definitely viable, and I think he is probably a tight end 1 this week. So that would be my sleeper pick. Nate, where are you at with your next one?
So next one I had, this was my streaming option.
We behind the scenes, we did a script before each podcast. Nate's sections are just blank, so we're going in blind with what he's gonna say.
Fear not, I have other notes. So my streaming option for this week, like I said, I did not realize how good this guy had been doing so far this year in fantasy relevance. My guy is going to be Sam Howell, quarterback for the Commanders. So they are going against the New York Giants, which is, over the last three games, the Giants are the fifth worst passing defense, giving up on average 292 yards per game. And Sam Howell is playing very well over his last three games. He put up 31 fantasy points versus the Eagles 3 weeks ago. Yes, 3 weeks ago, with four touchdowns, 18 versus the Patriots and one touchdown, and then 24 versus Seattle with three touchdowns in there. The attractive thing, too, I think about Sam Howell is he doesn't show it often, but he has the ability to run mm-hmm. with the ball. I think he'll kind of scramble, drill, and, you know, go for a rushing attempt, usually about 4 to 6 times per game. The Giants' rushing defense is really bad. In scramble drills, they've shown to be pretty bad as well. They gave up a rushing touchdown to Dak last week, and they let Zach Wilson run for 35 yards 2 weeks ago. So I think just those kind of added bonus points in there for Sam Howell are pretty attractive. I did not realize that Sam Howell right now is quarterback 5 on the year.
Is quarterback what? So,
quarterback 5
okay.
on the year. However, this is kind of shocking. He's only rostered in 70% of leagues on ESPN and Sleeper, and he's started in less than 50% of leagues on Sleeper. So you still might be able to go get him. Unfortunately, there's not too many good quarterbacks on bye this week, with the Falcons, Colts, Patriots, and Saints being out. So I think if you've got Sam Howell on your bench maybe, or if he's still on the waiver wire and your quarterback has a tough matchup this week, I think he's worth the grab. I really like him. I think it helps that we saw Dak Prescott go for like 40 points last week against the Giants. I think the Commanders want to go out, sling the ball around, run up the score on a divisional opponent if they can. I think he's due for a really big week.
Yeah, I like that. He's
can't disagree with that one.
No.
The whole matchup against the Giants, no matter who they're playing, it's just a juicy one in general. But there's going to be a lot of points scored in that game, so I really like that pick.
Well,
I'd say this is probably my next most confident pick. It is Jordan Addison versus the Denver Broncos. And it really expands beyond Addison. It's kind of the whole Vikings offense, outside of whoever starts at running back for them this week. But Addison, Josh Dobbs, and honestly, KJ Osborne emerges into the relevant streaming option if TJ Hockenson doesn't end up playing, in my opinion. But the Broncos have given up, I believe it's the fourth most passing touchdowns in the league with 17. They've also given up 2,200 passing yards this season. And it's a game that the Broncos have momentum in, but the Vikings also don't have a very good pass defense. So this is a game to me that, again, not two offenses that you think of as scary, but there could be a lot of points scored. So obviously fantasy upside from that perspective. And Addison, by no means under anyone's radar right now, but the touchdown upside with Justin Jefferson out and with potentially TJ Hockenson, I love it. Big time Addison this week.
Yeah, I really like that as well.
Could be low scoring, but I like it.
You think it could be low scoring?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because the Broncos love to run the ball, and they just really like to take the air out of the game. Doesn't mean Jordan Addison will have a bad game. I just could see them being maybe a little bit more conservative in their play calling to kind of match the energy, because the Vikings are going on the road, so they might try to run the ball a little bit more. But Madison is probably out, so that just kind of, it's kind of brutal. I don't really like the Vikings this week to win, but I still like Jordan Addison this week and TJ as well.
Yeah, I think they could just air it out. the Broncos defense has played better than what they get credit for over the last few games, especially, I mean, beating the Bills last week is a huge feat. That's a big win for them this season. I mean, you guys watched it firsthand in Denver, so they're under the radar for sure. But I kind of think that it could be an explosive week for Minnesota, but it could be the opposite too. I mean, two different opinions on that one. So, Layton, what do you got?
Well, I'm just going to keep this trend going. Mine was Antonio Gibson. That was the first name I listed when we started this starts of the week. Very exciting. I'm not going to belabor on this too much, but one thing I want to point out about Gibson is because I think there was a lot of hype and momentum around him as being a sleeper coming into the fantasy season. Didn't really work out at the beginning of the year, but hey, the past 3 weeks haven't been bad. He had 9 points against the Eagles, which is the Eagles, but then he had 12.5 and then 16.5 against the Patriots and Seahawks, respectively. He doesn't get a lot of carries typically just because the Commanders like to throw the ball, but he's gotten 5 catches the past 3 weeks, exactly 5. And last week he happened to get into the end zone, but I think this week with it being the Giants, they might run it a little bit more than normal. And I could just see, like everybody has talked about, they could be in a lot of scoring positions, so that just increases his chance of getting a touchdown. But couple that with the targets and the increased workload, I think could be a good week for him. So I'm kind of excited for him this week.
Yeah. Let Sam Howell and Antonio Gibson cook. Okay, so my last guy, this is my must start. I'm going with Brandon Ayuk. From 49ers. They're going against one of the bottom three passing defenses over the last 3 weeks in the Tampa Bay Bucks. Bucks are giving up 300-plus yards per game over the last couple weeks, 2.5 passing touchdowns per game as well. I feel like Ayuk is just quietly like a top 25 receiver. He's been very steady this year. Had one very explosive game week one, I think, but has just kind of been putting out, you know, 12 to 16 point weeks after that. He's, yeah, very steady, very consistent, very efficient with his targets too. He's not one of the higher targeted receivers that we typically see in the top 25 group. But it's kind of interesting with the 49ers that I feel like on any given week, somebody from that wide receiver room could go for a boom game. I'm kind of looping George Kittle in there as well. So now with Debo back, you have Debo, Ayuk, George Kittle. I think any one of those guys could go for, you know, 25 easily any given week. I think McCaffrey's always going to get his. But the good thing about that is – somebody else from the 49ers wide receiving group having a boom game doesn't make any of the other wide receivers any less startable. So even when Kittle went for 21 last week, Debo still had 16, Ayuk still had 15. So I think that all of these guys just have a high floor. George Kittle probably having the lowest floor out of all of them. He can kind of get canceled out of a game script. But yeah, I think Ayuk could really be primed for a solid game. One other little nugget about the Bucs that I had noticed was they let everybody score on them, but they have a tendency to lock down wide receiver ones on teams more often. So last week against Tennessee, Tampa Bay held DeAndre Hopkins to 27 yards, yet they let Kyle Phillips go for 3 catches for 61. The week before that against Houston, everybody went off for Houston, but we saw Noah Brown really emerge, had 6 catches, 153 yards and a touchdown. Then the week before that, they kind of held Diggs in check, only allowing 16 fantasy points, but they let Khalil Shakir and Gabe Davis go for, you know, 85 plus yards each in those games. So I think the focus for Tampa Bay is to kind of lock in on Debo, would be my guess. Out of anybody in that wide receiver group, I think he's probably the scariest and the most explosive. So I think Ayuk, if he gets 5 targets, he's probably going to catch 4 of them, and it's probably going to go for 60 yards. One of those might be a touchdown, and then, you know, any other targets past his average is just bonus. So I think he's my must start. I think I'm pretty confident slotting him in at a flex position this week. I feel like that's kind of the debate for most people that own him right now, is starter sit over other guys. So I think you go ahead and give him the nod this week.
I'd agree with that.
I like it. Yeah. I don't have any complaints about that one. He's one that his ceiling is high enough that you just need to have him in your starting lineup for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially at this point in the year, you know, when you're maybe not just boom or bust, but you're really looking for those ceiling players to get you into the playoffs, which is a decent transition to – it's a scary lock of the week for me because I really have a rough history with this player. I don't love to give him much praise if I don't have to, but I'm going to go ahead and highlight him in this segment. And I'm going to start with the team that he's playing against first. If you've listened to the show, you probably have a good idea of who this player is already. But he is matched up with the Los Angeles Rams. One thing that I didn't realize about the Rams, just looking at like the just at a glance of their defense, they've given up a lot of points over the last few weeks in their matchups. They gave up 20, which I shouldn't say a lot. They gave up 20 points and almost 400 yards of offense to the Packers, which I feel like is not a high-flying offense by any means. Week before that, they gave up 35 points and another 400 yards to the Cowboys. Before that, 24 to the Steelers. And then they had a decent game against Arizona, but Arizona, again, not a high-flying offense. They haven't given up less than 300 yards since week one, ironically, against the Seahawks. So this matchup, I kind of expect some redemption for the Seahawks passing game. The Rams have actually been pretty stingy through the air. I'm going to pull it up. I just had it. They have only given up 9 passing touchdowns this season, which is shockingly low compared to what I thought it was going to be. And they haven't even given up 2,000 yards through the air either. So they've had a good passing defense, but this guy is a boom or bust fantasy player, and that is none other than Mr. Tyler Lockett himself. My favorite person. He is coming off of his second best fantasy performance of the season last week, in which he actually only played 79% of the snaps, which was pretty low compared to where he's normally at. He scored 23 fantasy points last week, 10 targets, 8 receptions, 92 yards, and a touchdown. I look for that trend to continue as a guy who is probably in that conversation for a flex or maybe a low-end wide receiver too in your starting lineup. But he is dealing with a hamstring injury. That being said, he's been questionable for 5 weeks in a row with that same hamstring injury, and it really hasn't prevented him from being productive in fantasy. So even though it's not the best matchup, I still really like Tyler Lockett this week in an important divisional game for the Seahawks.
I'm just really happy you highlighted Tyler Lockett.
It's honestly a first for me, I think.
I know, but it just makes me a little bit happy, you know? It's just kind of one of those things, you're maybe turning a corner.
We'll see. if he proves me right, I'll give him a little more credit next week.
That's fair. So my lock of the week is interesting. I picked – oh, so did we hit on every lock of the week last week? Colts hit. Yeah, Texans hit. The Packers hit?
Packers was a push.
Ah, okay. So we did pretty good. So
pretty good.
I'm taking the Chargers -3 against said Packers. The Chargers are on the road, so Vegas thinks they're even teams. And I know the Packers defense is kind of terrible, but I just think they're a lot better than the Packers. I don't know how the Chargers won't be able to score on them, for example, but I'm just assuming Jordan Love and that offense will eventually, you know, do something wrong, I guess, to kind of have a bump in the road. But I think the Chargers go in and beat the Packers this week. Because if they don't, Brandon Staley probably won't have a job after this.
I would give the Packers defense a little bit more credit than that. I wouldn't say they're terrible.
No, they're not terrible. Did I say terrible? I'm sorry.
I think that was the quote. I could be wrong. They're giving up an average of 20 points a game and 320 yards of offense per game, which is pretty solid numbers. It's not top tier by any means, but they're not dog water either. I like the pick though. I think the Chargers are quite a bit better than the Packers. So cool.
I did not mean to say terrible to the Packers brethren out there, but I think the Chargers offense is really good as well.
Sure. My lock of the week this week is none other than probably the most talked about team this episode, the Washington Commanders at -9.5. Is it at home? I think it's at home. At home against the New York Football Giants. The Giants are clueless. They have no hope this season. They might as well pack it up and start thinking about next year. 9.5 is a lot, but the Commanders' passing offense has been so electric. Sam Howell has played very well, and there's no reason to believe that this won't be just more of the same. So I really like the Commanders -9.5.
Nice. Nate?
I love those picks. I hate my pick that I'm coming in with. This is my least favorite team in the NFL that I'm going to bet on this week. I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. I hate them. I hate what they're doing this year, and I hate that they keep winning games that they shouldn't. There are four games that I can count on their schedule that they should not have won. And somehow they are sitting at 6-3. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
6-3.
You're correct.
I had the Packers last week. Part of me still believes the Packers should have won that game. But the Steelers, somehow they just make plays at the end of games. I do think it's ridiculous, though, that they're getting a point on the road at Cleveland this week with Dorian Thompson-Robinson starting at quarterback. That is absurd. I will take that 1 point. I think the Steelers win this game. I think they'll find a way. They've got some voodoo going over there. I don't really understand it, but the one hesitation with this is just that this would put the Steelers at 7-3, which I don't think should be a possibility, but I think it's going to happen. I think TJ Watt and that D-line just terrorize DTR. I think you see a defensive touchdown. I think it's going to be a multiple score game for Pittsburgh, but give me the one point, and I'll take the Steelers.
You seem so excited.
Ecstatic.
It's not a feel good bet by any means.
No, it's not. But if you can't beat your enemy, join them.
I think that's a pretty wise call. I feel like surely the Browns can't win another. The Browns are honestly not a dissimilar team from the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Just a very defensive oriented, like kind of gross offensive team, and they get to play each other. Actually, are they both 6-3?
Yeah.
They are. Yeah.
Wow.
Gross.
The winner of this game could overtake the division.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to be lose. My next question. If the Ravens lose to the Bengals.
Yep.
Man.
That's crazy.
You mean Ren, but the Ravens aren't going to lose.
Again, isn't this crazy, though? If Cincinnati loses, they're dead last in their division.
They're
at 5-5.
Well, they are dead last right now, right?
That is true. But then it's like, it seems like
it's a bad.
Harder. Yeah. It seems more difficult for them to come back from 5-5 and dead last than it was a week ago or this week.
That's fair.
They're 5-5 right now, though.
They're five. Yeah, they are. All right. This record I'm looking at says they're 5-4, but you're totally right. They are 5-5.
They just
lost
again, yeah.
It is weird for me to think about them being 5-6 after tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Like, I heard, saying that.
I'm very excited for that game because it'll be a fun good game.
Yeah, it's going to be the best Thursday night game so far, I think.
That's going to be awesome. That is going to have like Super Bowl like feel to it, I feel like, for these teams. Like, this is a must win for Cincinnati, and
Ravens just lost. They're back at home.
I mean, Ravens are fighting for their division and one seed, honestly, still in the AFC. So
what's crazy is that the Ravens just lost to the Browns.
Yep. Gave that
and
game
we're talking
away.
About we're talking about the Steelers beating the Browns this week.
Well, the quarterback's out, but
but again, Watson hasn't been the guy for Cleveland. Like, that's what we opened the episode with, is that Watson isn't that game changer.
But he's a lot better than
DTR is like a hair better than Clayton Tune.
That is true.
Hey, is anyone surprised that PJ Walker isn't starting?
Everybody.
Extremely.
Yeah, that's weird. That's an interesting call to make against, especially given the circumstances of, hey, the other two teams in our division are playing Thursday night. Like, we're going to know if we have a chance to have first place when this game begins.
Watch the Ravens are going to – if the Ravens lose, the Browns are going to be like, wait, we're actually starting PJ Walker.
Hold on a second. No, they're going to trade for Josh Dobbs, even though it's after the trade deadline. They're going to say, we need Josh Dobbs back.
If Cleveland did do that, if they declare they're starting DTR and then on like Friday they're like, nope, we're starting PJ Walker, would Vegas send like a hitman out for Kevin Stefanski?
Probably. Whatever his name is.
Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah.
Does it move the line that much though?
Yes.
I mean,
how much? I think it's a pick 'em.
2 points. Yeah, I think. I think Cleveland's minus three then.
I just. All right.
It is gross.
Well, that's another episode for the wraps. This was a good one.
It was.
We talked a lot about Christmas movies. So,
yes.
Sorry about that, but good luck in your games this weekend. Go make the playoffs. Do it for the Chumps, because you're all part of Chump Nation.
Hopefully Tyler Lockett doesn't disappoint.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks.